starting what we count as a new year, and I think it's a good time to stop and reflect and think on some things. Brother Singh alluded in his prayer about knowing God's will. I think it's a good time to think about knowing God's will. You know, how, knowing God's will in 2012 or any time. And we've talked about some of these things before, but I think it's good for us to reiterate them from time to time. Now, what do we mean when we speak of God's will? Now, there's various ways that some folks approach the subject and look at the subject of God's will. Of course, scriptural ways the way we ought to do it. There are those that differentiate God's will between what they call His decretive will or His decreed will and what they sometimes call His permissive will. There are those that say, well, there's certain things that God has positively foreordained, and there's other things that, you know, He just kind of suffers to exist or to happen. Fortunately, that can't be. That would be a scary world to live in. You know, well, God has determined some things, but some others He hasn't. Well, then how can you be sure of the things that He's determined? The bottom line in all of this, after we say what we say today, is that God only permits those things which are in accordance with His will. Some folks have a problem as we assert that fact that's set forth in the Scripture. They don't see how God could have decreed, for instance, the existence, the activities of sin without being Himself the author of sin. As we look at the Scripture, I think we see the distinctions of God's decreed will and God's revealed will. And much of that decreed will, and we could have a subcategory of that and say that's God's secret will. Now some of God's decreed will, at least, is revealed to us in the Scriptures. So some of God's decreed will is secret, some of it is revealed. God's revealed will is what's made known in His Word. We might say as well, add a category to that if you will, God's revealed will is also what takes place. You know, what comes our way, what transpired yesterday, that's revealed to have been God's will. Or that phrase that I think we could well cultivate as a part of our own vocabulary, says, you know, this too is the hand of God. His secret will is in His own hidden and eternal counsels. God's revealed will, this book, is that which determines your duty and my duty. That's what determines our responsibility. That's what determines our accountability. Now, you'll see some of these Arminians will argue against the doctrines of grace, really having no understanding of them, and saying, well, they argue against what is sometimes called irresistible grace or whatever. Say, well, see, the Scriptures talk about men violating God's will. We see men violate God's will. God's revealed will, that which is set forth in Scripture, is often violated by man. But His secret or decreed will is never thwarted. It's unfortunate that none of us perfectly do God's revealed will. But a child of God will evidence a desire for that. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So we know we as individuals fail of God's revealed will, though we desire to accomplish it. Nevertheless, we can rest in the fact that His decreed will never fails of accomplishment, not in the smallest detail. The secret will of God, His eternal, His unchanging purpose concerning all things, is accomplished. And it is beyond me how those argue against such a thing. And yet they do. The prophet Isaiah writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, the words of God, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. I will do all my pleasure. God does not have two wills that are in conflict with one another. God's secret will and His revealed will have different objects, but they're never in conflict. His sovereign decree determines those things that come to pass. And some of those things that come to pass are those things that within His revealed will He's shown to hate, to forbid, to condemn. There are many such examples of that in Scripture. That doesn't argue against God's accomplishing His decreed will. In fact, the greatest example that we fall back upon or look to was the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those folks were in rebellion against God's revealed will. They were in rebellion against heaven. They were in rebellion against the Son of God. Acts 4, verse 26. The apostle says, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together. And of course, he's quoting from the Psalms. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Or the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This too is the hand of God. A dark day, the most darkest day in some ways of human history. That it's turned to the brightest day. Again, Acts 2, verse 22 says, the apostle preaching, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So we note that those who crucified the Lord were acting against the Lord, were acting against Christ. They were in violation of God's revealed will concerning His Son, concerning the Messiah. And brethren, before that, they were culpable. It was wicked hands that crucified Him. Of the one that betrayed Him, it said it was better that He were not even born. Nevertheless, you see, they were accomplishing and fulfilling God's decreed and at that time secret will. Again, the verses say, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And nothing can be more clear than the twin truths, that we're accountable to obey God's revealed will and that His decreed will certainly be accomplished. And those things, you know, to the human mind sometimes become a bit of a mystery. When God's Word forbids sin, when His revealed will sets forth something for mankind to obey and to follow. It reflects God's nature. It reflects the moral evil of sin, which God hates. But when He decrees that these things take place, His secret will intends the actual occurrence which will serve His eternal purpose. God's will of decree, then, is not the same as His revealed will. His revealed will takes often the form of a command to us, and when that command's given, we become responsible for it. His revealed will is completely in accordance with His nature. When He commands love, obedience, and service from His creatures. God's secret will, His decreed will, has in view the ultimate end. That towards which all things are working. God decreed the entrance of sin into the universe, though His holy nature hates sin. And by such He intended to accomplish an appointed end. And amongst that was the redemption of a people for Christ and the glorification of His Son. Now, in human terms, if you or I were to act like that, we'd say, well, then you're just saying that the means justify, or the ends justifies the means. That only works in one case. That only works if you happen to be omniscient and infallible, and you know the ends, and you know the beginning, as Isaiah was speaking of, and that you can determine these things, if you're omnipotent to accomplish that, which we are not. For us, the means or the ends do not justify the end because we are not God. And we can't determine those ends. Our obligation is to obey Him, is to obey His revealed will. Again, Proverbs, we read, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Now, the human heart often rebels at such. We've been studying in Romans 9, verse 19, where the objector says, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Our obligation is to obey His revealed will. Our measure of responsibility, the determiner of our duty, is the revealed will of God. In Deuteronomy, we read this, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us. Now, there are some folks that I've seen take this verse and try to argue against preaching the doctrines of grace. They say, those are revealed things, you know, that God chose the people, the doctrines of election. So, I'm not preaching, they're secret things. That's not what it's talking about. It's revealed in God's Word. But there are those things that we don't know the end from the beginning. But we can be sure that God will accomplish His decreed will. God's secret will, to that extent, you know, really isn't our business. That's His concern, and it will be accomplished. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's the kind of God you serve. He's done whatever he pleased. He's not trying, hoping and wishing, doing his best, doing all he can. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. In heaven, and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Again, the prophet Isaiah, back in Isaiah 46:10, said, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Ephesians 1, Paul writes, Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, why did God save us? Because it pleased him to do so. I don't have any other better answer for that. It pleased him to do so according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1, Paul said in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Job said in Job 23, verse 13, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. You know, there's no yeah buts on that. That's what we're apt to do. So yeah, but it's kind of like that's just the nature of mankind. Or old Peter, when the Lord said, "Here's what you're to do," and Peter says, "Yeah, but." And I'm not condemning Peter. You know, I've been there enough myself. Back in John 21, where the Lord was giving Peter his marching orders. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. There you go, Peter. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loves, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Our duty is encompassed by the revealed will of God. What he may determine concerning others or other circumstances isn't really our concern. So our responsibility regarding the will of God is measured by what's made known in the Word. The revealed will of God. It is the duty of all mankind to obey the revealed will of God. That we know. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. And even the pagans, even the heathen, you know, they have that, the revelation of nature. They have those things written upon their heart, which they rebel against. Paul spoke of that, again, back where we've been studying in Romans. In Romans, back in chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience being witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. No man has an excuse. The heathen is to obey the revealed will of God as God has revealed it unto him. And he doesn't. Well, beyond that then, so we've got God's revealed will. That's our duty. That's what encompasses our accountability and our responsibility. But how do we know God's will concerning, you know, specifics, maybe things that are not directly addressed in Scripture, those things that come up in our daily lives? And I can't give you the answer in every case, but the Scripture gives us some guidance. And in particular, it gives us some guidance to finding peace in God's will, and in God's sovereignty, and in God's revelation. First of all, you know, if we're to know God's will, if we're to live God's will, we should seek to know all of God's revealed will that we can. It's set forth here in the book. We ought to seek to find God's will in the pages of Scripture. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, not sinless, but that he may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Too often, you know, folks complain, well, I don't know what God's will is. And too often, it's because, you know, we don't obey the will that we do have. If we're not obeying His revealed will that we know, well, why should He open anything else to us? So we should seek to know God's revealed will to the fullest possibility, and we ought to be committed to doing it. Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and that you be not conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you can show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give your body a living sacrifice and you will show forth what is the will of God. It will be manifested in your life. And we notice what Paul says there as well, that God's will for us is good and pleasing and perfect, that you may do what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we need to seek to know God's revealed will in the book. We need to be committed to doing it. At the same time, we shouldn't expect to rely upon voices from heaven or signs or wonders in the sky. The Lord at various times has spoken to men in various ways. But again, our dependence is upon the Word of God. We ought not be seeking after all these other things. Matthew 12, verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered him, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, There shall be no sign given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. They say what they saw, what was evidenced before them, they wouldn't receive it, so they asked for more. 1 Kings 19, verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. You know, Elijah wants a sign. Here comes the wind and breaks the mountains apart. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Because listen, the Lord speaks through His Word. Not seeking after all these other signs and heaven shaking and whatever. Not that they may not start shaking, I don't know. Some of those things are coming, but what we can rest assured of in these circumstances is knowing that God does have a specific and a decreed will for each of us. Prophet Jeremiah, again under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's got something in mind. We may not understand it all. Certainly Jeremiah didn't at times. Got thrown in a pit and had everybody turn against him. Call him the weeping prophet. You know, things weren't easy. God says, "I've got an expected end for you." The psalmist says in Psalm 32:8, again, speaking the words of the Lord, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye." We know that God's working His decreed will, but we know that our obligation is to obey His revealed will. The rest of it's going to work out, folks. We understand as well that God does communicate His will by He orders the circumstances. He orders the means. He brings the desires to our own hearts. Brother Singh talked about opening and closing doors. The Lord does that. As long as we're seeking to obey and walk in conformance with the Scripture. So first we need to know God's will from Scripture, and then we seek the inward guidance of the Spirit to apply those things to our own lives and our own circumstances. In Philippians, Paul says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." God works within us those desires to do His good pleasure. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Not delight yourself, you know, in the lusts of man, and you're going to get the desires of your heart. No. You delight yourself in the Lord. God reveals those things to us. If we desire God's will, you know, we'll have a peace about doing those things. And He'll give the power that's needed to achieve it. If we have a desire for something and we never have the required resources and we never meet that desire, you know, we can conclude that, you know, that wasn't really God's will for us. We may say, "Well, I still want that." Well, again, we rest in what God brings and gives His people. And again, prayer is is a God-ordained means. We're to pray and to seek God's will. The conforming of our heart to His, of our desires to His, of our will to His. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 143, verse 10, "Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the upright land." Again, desiring those things, they'll be set forth. Learning to praise. The Lord was teaching us to pray. The thing that's called the Lord's Prayer was really a model prayer, teaching the disciples, you know, the type of things, how they ought to pray. The Lord said this in Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, conforming our heart to His, our will to His, our desires to His. And even in the most difficult and trying of circumstances, as our Lord, as He was facing an imminent crucifixion, betrayal. Matthew 26, verse 42 says, "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done.'" There's peace as God brings us to that desire, "Thy will be done." Rest in His sovereignty. Rest in His sovereignty. Trust God. And then walk in the light of what He has revealed. Walk in the light of what He has given to us. Prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Trust in God. There's a peace that comes that I know can't be found anywhere else. As He brings us, as He teaches us to trust in Him as we ought. Again, in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him." Do what He's told you to, "and He shall direct thy paths." Live in conformity to His revealed will. He will take care of the rest. He'll direct our paths. And Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3, 8, "And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him." This is Samuel that heard the word from the Lord directly. "Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord.'" Eli did. "Let him do what seemeth him good." And he heard some bad things. Samuel told him some bad things that God said were going to happen. And he says, "It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Good, bad, and different. It's the Lord. You know, better His will be done than mine. So I pray that the Lord might give us grace to walk in His will, to know His will this year. You know, we might say, "Well, can we miss the will of God? Can we be out of His will?" Well, we can be out of His revealed will. We can be disobedient to Scripture. And that's not where we're supposed to be. That's where we not ought not to be. And we never have an excuse for doing that. But we can never thwart His decreed will. We may be disobedient. We may be out of His revealed will. Any sin, any action contrary to the Scripture or the Spirit's leading places us outside of the will of God, outside of that peace that we ought to have. Yeah, God's working in it all. Again, I can't explain it all. I can't comprehend it all. I know that there's... You know, David found no peace in disobedience. He found no peace in adultery. Those things that transpired there. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then it was in accordance as it brought forth those things. God's purpose was accomplished. From that union, you know, eventually comes forth, you know, the Messiah. Elimelech was certainly outside of the revealed will of God when he went down to Moab. There he died, and his sons died. But Naomi brings back one of her daughter-in-laws with her by the name of Ruth, and she marries a man by the name of Boaz. And from that union again comes forth an ancestor of the Lord. Doesn't justify our disobedience, brethren. You pay for it. It's not the way of the transgressor is hard. But we can rest. God's working His perfect will. We consider the actions of those who crucified the Lord. Brethren, they did what he determined before to be done, but there is an accounting. I shudder to think of the account. So let it be understood and clear that we have no excuse to disobey the revealed will of God. But no action that anyone takes is ever outside of God's decreed will. It's going to be accomplished. We can find rest in that. We can find peace in that. But we'll only find that rest and peace if we're walking in accordance with His revealed will, or else we're going to be miserable. God's will is accomplished, regardless of how disobedient man may be, regardless of how they may rebel against His revealed will. But it doesn't lessen our accountability, our responsibility, our culpability. It is our duty to obey the revealed will of God. Beyond that, we can rest in His sovereignty. We can trust Him to guide the paths of our life. Now, if we're living in accordance with His revealed will, we really don't have to worry about all those other things. I know we do. I mean, we have to face them. We have to deal with them. But again, close to what we read in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Do what He says. And He shall direct thy paths. Rather simple in the telling, rather difficult in the doing. But again, may God give us strength and grace to live in conformity with His revealed will. Trust Him to accomplish His decreed will and find the kind of peace that alone will bring to the heart of His people. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 14, Majestic Sweetness. We use this same tune for some other songs we sing, but this is actually, I think, the original hymn that we've sang from time to time. Majestic Sweetness sits enthroned.
Majestic Sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiance glories crowned, His lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with Him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is He than all the fools who train, who fill in deep distress and drew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief, and carried all my grief. Triumph over death and saves me from the grave, and saves me from the grave.
Father, we thank thee this morning that thou art sovereign God. Lord, that you accomplish all your good pleasures. And Lord, they are good indeed. Father, we may not comprehend when evil men rage. And yet, Lord, we thank thee for the peace that we may know that even in that, your will is being accomplished. Lord, for ourselves, we thank thee that you've given us your word, that we need not lean to our own understandings. Father, I pray for grace to live in accordance with your revealed will, that we as your people might know the peace and comfort that comes from that as we rest upon your sovereignty. Lord, I thank you again for each one that's here. I thank you, Lord, for what we mean one to another. Lord, for this little flock that you brought together. Father, I pray that we may ever walk in accordance with that which you set forth. Lord, that we may obey that which you revealed, that we may perhaps know more. Father, thank you for that love that spanned eternity. Thank you for the atoning death of our Savior. Lord, thank you for that which you bring forth daily. Lord, thank you for that which is yet to come. Which is beyond our knowledge or comprehension or other understanding. Thank thee, Lord, that we may trust thee in it. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.